Okay, John 3, verses 16 and 17 out of the Passion Translation reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescue it." To be its Savior and to rescue it and not condemn. And John 13, 34, 35, also in the Passion Translation, says, "So I give to you a new commandment. I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." Now let's go to Matthew 16, because we've been talking about living in the revelation. In Matthew 16, verse 13 and 14, is when Peter got the revelation in which we're all living right now. "When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question, 'What are people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am?' They answered, 'Some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say I am?' Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, 'You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. And I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it." So the revelation that Jesus is the Christ is the foundation of the church. That's the foundation. And as the church, our lives should be built on that same foundation. Because if we're part of the church, then we also believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as I said, we should be living it. Joshua 1:8 tells us that when we meditate on the word day and night, purposing to do or observing to do all that's written, we'll make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. And that's because when you meditate on the word day and night, guess what's going to come? Revelation's going to come. Understanding's going to come. And you'll know the things that we're supposed to do that will cause us to prosper, that'll cause us to be in good health. But if we don't meditate on the word day and night, these things won't happen. See, because if you're meditating on the word and revelation comes, everything about you, your way of thinking, everything will change. Because it'll be built on a new foundation. Proverbs 4:4 tells us, I'm in the Passion Translation still. It says, "Listen to my correction, my son, for I speak to you as your father. Let discernment enter your heart, and you will grow wise with the understanding I impart. My revelation truth is a gift to you, so remain faithful to my instruction. For I too was once the delight of my father and cherished by my mother, their beloved child. Then my father taught me, saying, 'Never forget my words. If you do everything that I teach you, you will reign in life. So make wisdom your quest. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Don't let what I say go in one ear and out the other. Stick with wisdom and she will stick with you, protecting you throughout your days. She will rescue all those who passionately listen to her voice. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. Revelation knowledge is what you need, so invest in it." Invest in it. Invest in getting revelation knowledge. We need wisdom, but we need, more importantly, we need revelation, because we need to have the understanding as of what's being shared with us. I don't remember if it was in a book or in a teaching, but Mark Hankin said, you can steal information, but you cannot steal revelation. And we need to understand that. That's why once you understand something, you got it. And nobody can take that away from you, because you got it. Information, we were in Greece, and I think it was four people, I'm going to use the term, lost their cell phone, but really they put their cell phone down and someone stole it. And so all of that information on there was gone. They didn't have it anymore. But they couldn't steal the things that they had remembered, the things that they understood. They couldn't steal that. So you want to get revelation, because that can't be taken away. You won't lose that. Look at Matthew 13. Might be here for a couple of minutes. Now I'm back in the old-fashioned King James. It's not old-fashioned. When anyone hears, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed where? Now, I've read this passage a number of times, just like most of you, and I never really focused on wayside. This he receives by the wayside, and I just kept reading. And this time I said wayside, and I stopped. And I said, okay, why did Jesus say he received it by the wayside? Then I started thinking, well, what happened to him, to this individual? The word of the kingdom was spoken to them, and they didn't understand it, so the enemy came and took it. I got that. But, in my thinking, it's like, all right, well, why did he take it? And then I realized the answer was right here. He received it by the wayside. So I started thinking about the wayside. And what is it about being on the wayside? Wayside means you're off the road. You're not on the main road. You're on the side of the road. And on the side of the road, one thing, unless they're doing construction, the side of the road, the wayside, is rougher than the main road. You have more obstacles and things on the wayside than you do on the main road. So your attention is different. You're not looking necessarily at where you're going. You're looking to make sure nothing's in your way. And when you do that, the danger in that is you may miss something. You may miss. I found out, they say people can't talk and chew gum at the same time. I find out that I can't talk to someone interesting on the cell phone. I can have a long conversation, like I'll call my son or Deacon Phyllis will call me and we'll have conversation. And one night we're driving and I saw the sign for the Palisades Mall. Because I'm talking, I still see the road, but I didn't see the sign that told me to get off the road because it was my exit. Because I was distracted. the good thing was, I saw the road. But that's all I saw, because I'm talking, I'm seeing the road, I'm not paying attention to anything else. And that's what happens when we get off on the wayside, we get distracted. That's one of the reasons why we ask people to turn off their electric devices when they come into service. Because when it goes off, not only does it distract you because you go fishing for it to try and take it off, meanwhile, the word is still going forth. The Holy Ghost is still talking to you. And you're trying to grab your phone or your device to silence it. Or the person sitting around you, now they have an attitude. Because your phone went off or something, they may even turn around and look at you. I know you'll never do that. Right? You'll never. But you hear ring. But meanwhile, the word's still going. And it could be for seconds, but what is it that's going to be shared in those seconds that will bring it all together for you? You don't know. You're off on the wayside. You got distracted. And when you get distracted, you may not get all of the understanding that you need. Because sometimes just a word or two words brings everything together. Everything. I mean, you're making a meringue pie. If you don't have cornstarch, you'll have eggs, but it won't come together. You know, you need to have what'll make it come together for you. You're not getting the full impact because your focus is not totally on the word. It's not totally on it. It's somewhere else. We could be sitting down in service. We have to glance at the clock. It says 11:45. You start thinking about, where am I going to go for lunch? Meanwhile, the word is going on. The Holy Ghost is still speaking. And just what you needed to hear, you didn't hear. That often people come through the line and they say, I've been asking God this question. And, you know, when you said whatever it was, that answered the question. Excuse me. Now I got it. Well, what if you were distracted when I said what I said? Now you didn't get it. So we have to understand that when we're receiving the word, we don't want to be on the wayside. We want to get the full understanding. We want to get the full revelation so nothing can take it away. Because if they can't take it away, guess who has it? You do. All of the time. I was reading about the Challenger space shuttle. I've shared with you, we know it failed because of two O-rings that cost 58 cents each. But that's not why that aircraft exploded. Because there were engineers that knew that those O-rings would not hold up because of the freezing temperatures that took place the day before. Down the floor, they had freezing temperatures. And the engineer said, these O-rings are shaky when it's freezing. But they went on with the launch. The manufacturer of the solid rocket engines knew that those O-rings may have had an issue in cold weather. But for whatever reason, maybe they were just the excitement of the shuttle, you know, all the people there getting, for whatever reason, they didn't pay attention to what they were hearing from the engineers. They were probably thinking, because I didn't talk to any of them, I'm just speculating, they're probably thinking, you know, we have to get this launch. You know, it'll be all right. It's warm now. You know, when we get information, this is the point, we have to pay attention to it. We have to give attention to it. We have to listen to what's being said, understand what's being said, get the revelation of what they're being said, so we'll know how we're supposed to respond, how we're supposed to act. And they didn't, and, you know, of course, you know the results of it. But, you know, fortunately, President Reagan ordered an investigation, and all of these things came out. You know, there's several ways. Well, the point is, we need to avoid distractions. We need to. And there's several ways to do it. But the one we're going to talk about tonight for the next few minutes is in Proverbs 4:20 and 22. And I'm not standing here in front of you saying, well, I got this thing down pat. I got this all together. You know, I pay attention. No, I have growth opportunities just like everybody else. come. But verse 20 of Proverbs 4, King James Version, says, my son, what are the next four words? Attend to my words. What does attend mean? Pay attention. Keep your focus on them. Make it first place. Donovan, did you tell me you were running hurdles?
Yeah.
When you're running, you have to pay attention, don't you? You have to be mindful of your steps because you go over, you take X number of steps, and you go over the next one. And you don't have time to hear mommy scream your name, go Donovan! You have to screen all of that out and just focus on what you're doing, don't you? Because if you don't, instead of going over the hurdle, you may run into the hurdle. that's what happens. You have to stay focused. You have to attend to God's words. It says, incline thine ear unto my saying. So that means you have to listen to his voice, just like you have to listen to your coach. You have to listen to his voice and screen out all of the other voices. You have to let them not depart from thine eyes. You have to keep looking at them. Keep looking at them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. If you don't have them in your heart, you're not going to do them. So you want to keep them right in the midst of your heart. In verse 22 says, for their life to those who find them and health to all thy flesh. The Passion Translation puts it a little differently. It says, listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. To how much? All right. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. And that's one area where we probably have the greatest issue. I know I do. Is filling my thoughts with God's words. Sometimes we fill our thoughts with our feelings. And when we fill our thoughts with our feelings, usually we're not attending to God's word. Usually we're not. I there's a program I used to watch, and on it one of the characters was in a commitment. It was in a committed relationship, I should say. And another woman invited him out to dinner, and he went. And after dinner, the woman wanted to do more than dinner, and he said no. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm usually pretty good at reading feelings. And listen to what he said. You didn't misread my feelings. What I feel is one thing. What I do about my feelings is something else. Okay. So yeah, we're gonna feel something. Something's gonna happen, make us feel some kind of way, as we like to say. That's one thing. What we do because of those feelings is something else. And if we're not attending to the word, if we're not inclining our ears to hear, if we're not keeping them in the midst of our heart, if we're not keeping them within plain view, we'll make the wrong choice. We'll make the wrong choice. Because we'll be off on the wayside, and the word that we know will be taken from us. In this analogy, the word that we know will be overshadowed by your feelings. Because you've allowed your feeling to take the place in your heart where the word should be. So it's no longer in there. It's been pushed out. Like, I think it was, Les Brown said ego means edging God out. Yeah. And sometimes I have some feelings, and I know it's ego. Because it's what I think should take place, what I think should happen. Verse 22. Then as you, this is after we've filled our thoughts with God's word and had let them penetrate into our spirit. Verse 22, then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Think about that. The King James says, out of it flow the issues of life. This is letting us know what we allow in our heart affects all that we are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So we have to pay attention to the welfare of our hearts. We have to pay attention to that. Verse 24, it says, avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words no matter what. And the Passion Translation puts an exclamation point there. And I started thinking about that. And I said, what do, you know, what you say, what does that have to do with it? Well, your words can pull you off track. Because before you, think about it. Before you speak, you're thinking about what you're going to say. And if your thinking isn't in line with the word, you're veering off to the side. And when you open your mouth, what's going to come out is, again, your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts, because you've allowed the word to be covered, to be taken away. So we have to be mindful of what we say, because what we say is going to, it shows how we feel. And the more we say it, the stronger the feelings are going to be. Verse 25, so set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. Say, ignore life's distractions. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Timothy, in the Passion Translation, verse 4, 2 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. So if we want to fully obey all that God has called us to do, we're going to have to divorce ourselves from the distractions of this world. Now, understand what that means. In order to divorce yourself, there needs to be a connection. So we were connected with distractions. And when we realize that they're distractions, guess what we have to do? Disconnect. The Passion Translation says divorce. Whatever it is, we have to get rid of the distraction. God, I was telling someone that earlier this week. God's not going to do it. He's already done everything he's going to do. He gave us the ability to do it. He gave us instructions to do it. Now he gets what he's waiting for. For us to do it. Going back to Proverbs 4, verse 26. Watch where you are going. Watch. Sometimes you can see things coming. And you know, has anybody other than me ever thought, if I say this or do this, then such and such and such and such is going to take place? We know what's coming. And how many of us always, you don't want me to finish that, do you? Don't feel bad. I'd have to raise my hand also. Okay. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked for even a moment or take the detour that leads to darkness. We have to give attention. We have to tend to the word, to the word, and we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted or sidetracked. We have to allow the Holy Ghost to guide us. And there's another thing that we have to consider when we're talking about attending the Word. Sometimes when we attend the word, sometimes revelation can come to someone else and to another group. Look quickly at Acts 11. Passion Translation. This is after Peter had the vision and got the revelation that whom God, what God calls clean is clean. Yeah. And for that, he knew that it was okay to give the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, in Acts 11, I'll start at verse 1. It says, the news traveled fast and soon reached the apostles and the believers living in Judea that non-Jewish people were also receiving God's message of new life. When Peter finally arrived in Jerusalem, the Jewish believer called him to task. It means they got on his case. And they were saying, why did you stay in the home of people who aren't Jewish? You even ate meals with them. Peter explained what had happened, saying, one day, as I was in the city of Joppa, while I was praying, this has fell into ecstatic trance and then went into another realm. You know, and he saw the vision, as you all know, with like a linen coming down and rise, Peter, kill and eat. Said, I've eaten nothing. I don't eat anything that's unclean. And God said, what I say is clean, it's clean. And then the men came and God told them, go with them. And so he went and they got saved. But what happened is when he went back and told the people that, they got a revelation. See, when they first heard that information, they heard it, they were on the wayside. There was no one there to unpack it for them. There was no one there to speak to their understanding. They heard it through the grapevine, that this is what Peter did. And they were upset. They couldn't wait till Peter got back. But once Peter was there and gave it to them, they had a blow-by-blow description of just what God did. They all glorified God. Verse 18 says, when they heard this, their objections were put to rest, and they all glorified God, saying, look what God has done. He's given the gift of repentance that leads to life to people who aren't even Jews. They got a revelation that there are no ethnic barriers. Anybody who believes can receive Christ. They wouldn't have gotten that if Peter didn't listen, if Peter didn't attend to the vision the Holy Ghost gave him and the words that he got. If he didn't attend to it and didn't do it, they never get that revelation either. See, we don't know what's going to happen because we either act on or don't act on what God tells us. But one thing we know, something's going to happen. I would rather it be something good. I'm sure you would also. But to do that, we have to respond properly to the word that we hear. Peter opened the eyes of their understanding and revelation came. Psalm 119, verse 10. In the Message Bible, verse 9, asks the question, how can a young person live a clean life? Answer, by carefully reading the map of your word. It said, I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't send myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. He's saying, I'm going to pay attention to everything you say, and everything that you say to me is what's going to come out of my mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. Folks, we have to start to do a better job attending to the word, letting it do what it's designed to do. Now, Has anybody ever, you know, bought a new car in the last couple of years? They have new technology. Well, I don't know how old it is now. It's relatively new. Where they have something called lane assist. Where you have lane assist and you set it, okay? If you're veering off, it'll let you know. Well, there are two ways. Either it will let you know, and there's some technology that'll keep it in lane. But if you don't have the technology that allowed you to stay in lane, it will at least let you know. Your steering wheel will start to vibrate. The seat may start to vibrate. A little chime may sound. A display an image may come on the display in your entertainment center. If you have that and it's active, in order to go off on the wayside, you have to ignore it all. Well, we have the Holy Ghost, who Jesus said he will guide us into all truth. He's not going to allow, the Holy Ghost is not going to just sit there and allow us to veer off to the wayside. He's going to tell us. But he's not going to grab hold of us and make us stay straight. I know everybody's trying to look at me now. That should have happened 10 minutes ago. But he's not going to grab us and make us stay on the straight and narrow. He's going to tell us, you're moving too far to the right. Or he may say, stay in your lane. Okay? Stay in your lane. Don't wander over there. Don't wander over there. If we get in trouble because we wandered, we didn't listen. And then we get up, God, why didn't you tell me? I can picture God going, oh me, what am I going to do with these people? I guess I still have to love them. But we have to pay attention, folks. We have to pay attention to all the promptings. And when you're up in the roar, you're not paying attention to them. You're just focusing on what you're feeling, you're focusing on what happened, and you're focusing on how you are going to respond. What you're going to say, because I have to get this off of my chest. I just have to. When we start feeling that way, we should know we've moved over to the wayside. And you're not going to get the understanding you need on the wayside. Do you understand? See, Jesus didn't just know the scriptures. He had a revelation of the scriptures. I was reading in the Passion Translation the account in Luke, Luke 4, when he encountered the devil in the wilderness. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, you know, turn this stone into bread. Well, his first response set the tone. According to the Passion Translation's version of his response, Jesus replied, I will not, for it is written in the scriptures, life does not come only from eating bread, but from God. Life, listen to what life flows from every revelation from his mouth. Every revelation from God brings life. Jesus said, life flows. Life just flows from every revelation from God's mouth. That's all you need to get by. He said, I don't need just bread. I need to keep getting the revelations flowing from God's mouth. And he, in his earthly life, he operated the same way. In John 8:28, Passion Translation, he said, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. That's what he did. If Father revealed it to Jesus, he spoke it. If Father didn't reveal it, he didn't say it. And I'm sure there are probably a lot of things he may have wanted to say. Now turn, please, to Luke 10. I want you to follow along with me because I'm going to share this in the Passion Translation. But I want you to follow along. Verses 16, 17, and 18. Jesus said, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it, covering it over or putting it where its light won't be seen. No, the lamp is placed on a lampstand so others are able to benefit from its brightness. Because this revelation lamp now shines within you, nothing will be hidden from you. Nothing. It will all be revealed. Every secret of the kingdom will be unveiled and out in the open, made known by revelation light. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching. For those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away." Those are folks that are probably on the wayside. Remember, when you hear the word and you don't get the revelation, the enemy comes in and takes away the word that was sown in your heart. So if you want to keep the word that you've heard, you have to get the understanding. You have to get the revelation. And if you want the revelation, if you want the understanding, if you want to keep it, we're going to have to do a better job attending to his word. Luke 8, verses 16 to 18. I apologize if I said Luke 10. Did I hear someone heard 6? Oh. There are a lot of languages I was speaking. That was Luke 8, verses 16 to 18 out of the Passion Translation. I want to share this verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verses 21 to 30 in the Passion Translation, because it gives us even more encouragement. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 21, Passion Translation. "If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard its truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus, and he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self, life which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless those in need. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. But instead, let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life." So if we find ourselves letting ugly, hateful words come out of our mouth and all of those other things, we spent too much time on the wayside. And we need to get back onto the main road. See, one of the good things about being on the wayside is you can get on the right side anytime you want. You know, fortunately, if you wander over there, you don't become a prisoner. But see, as I said it earlier, there are other things on the wayside that are not on the main road. And sometimes the wayside suddenly ends. I know coming along a stretch of Route 80, it's usually a three-lane road, but there's stretches of it there's a fourth lane. If you're just cruising in there not paying attention and miss the merge sign, next thing you know, it's down to three lanes. So you have to pay attention. You know, I get in the middle lane between the two lines and just go. I don't have lane. This is my lane assist, my eyes. But if I do get another car, I'm getting lane assist. I'm getting that technology. But you know something? I don't have to do it for life because I already have the Holy Ghost, and so do you. So if we're going to live our life in the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we're going to have to stay off the wayside, folks. And it's going to require that we first attend to God's word. Secondly, incline our ears to his sayings, not letting them depart from our eyes and keeping them in the midst of our hearts. I'm done. Title of this lesson is Attend to God's Word. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's so freeing because it's loaded with truth, with revelation light. And all we have to do to get it is to stay on the main road, walking the right path. You said that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It will make the crooked path straight. So all we have to do is follow your word. And we'll be on the right path, straight path. And we won't give in to negative emotions. We thank you, Lord, that you always find a way to let us know that you love us, to let us know that you always have us located. You know exactly where we are. And you know exactly what we need to hear and exactly what we need to say. Thank you, Father, for loving us unconditionally. And I trust, Father, that, because I didn't say it in the beginning, but I trust that everyone heard exactly what you needed them to hear. And I give you all glory, honor, and praise for that, Lord, now in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Attend to God's word. Incline your ear to hear. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep it in the midst of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And then act on what you see, what you hear, and what God's spoken to your heart. Always be smooth. Even the rough roads will feel smooth. Just stay on the straight and narrow. Everything will work out. Amen? Amen. Amen.